One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Strippers are only strippers because of the money.
I mean, like, no, who the wants to wake up
like, oh, like, yeah, I want to strip for McNuggets.
I spent a day with strippers on this channel 4 years ago, and for obvious reasons, it was one of the most popular episodes we've ever done.
Hey, Anthony, what's better than one stripper on camera?
Ooh, three strippers on camera.
Yeah.
All at once.
Yeah, let's get into it. Stripping is not a real job.
What is a real job?
Yeah.
I feel like a real job, you're like chained onto someone else's time and you have to be there at a certain time and clock out, clock in. You have your lunch when they tell you to, and it's like, who are you to tell me what I could do?
Absolutely. But I feel like people who say that stripping isn't a real job hasn't worked as a stripper to understand how hard of a job it really is and that we're multifaceted. We have to be salespeople, right? We have to be fitness gurus. We have to keep, you know, keep ourselves in shape, right? We have to be talkative. We have to know money management. Like, it's not just
you're clocking in, clocking out. It's real, you got to move very strategically. Like, I can't just walk in and make money. It's conversation. It's personality. Like how you said, it's a workout.
I'd like to challenge anybody who thinks stripping is not a real job to try it just for like one night and see if you can cut it.
Silly Scylla said they make hella good money every single night.
It has its highs and its lows.
Yeah.
Honestly, you can walk in and you just, you can only get your house fee paid off.
Yeah.
And sometimes, baby, I make $1,000, I can make $600, I can make $300. And honestly, it's a hit and miss.
Ooh. For every stripper who's had the experience of like, I'm cleaning up $500 off my stage, someone's helping me, the crowd's cheering. There's also like, I'm sweating my ass off, I just roll my ankle, I've been dancing for three songs straight, I show my whole hole, and there here's like, there's five $1 bills on the stage that someone took their time to crumple up in the smallest little ball so they could hit your ass.
That is disrespectful. I hate when people like crumple it up and just to throw it out. I'm like, don't, and I throw it back, I'm like, don't you ever throw your dollar at me like that.
Yeah. People don't know that because we don't post that.
Bunny say, my assumption is that the majority of strip clubs don't prioritize women's safety as much as they should.
I feel like corporate, when they're really corporate run, they do prioritize the safety, but I feel like when it's, you know, a different kind of management
like
going on.
Like the mom and pops.
Exactly.
Yeah. The mom and pop shops. Yeah. Anything goes. It's like the Wild Wild West in those clubs.
That's entirely my experience with unionizing at the club that I work at, Star Garden in North Hollywood. And we were a very small workforce of probably about like 20 to 30 dancers. We had a couple dancers fired for bringing up safety issues to management. And then they made a rule that we weren't allowed to go straight to security if we had a safety issue. We had to go to the management. And if they thought it was a good enough reason, then they would get security involved. So we were like, this is like a red flag. Things are going south.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you need to have that in the club, a security that's going to intervene if something happens. So that's when we delivered a petition saying we want this rule taken away and we want our coworkers reinstated. And then we were all locked out from working. And so we were on strike for... We were striking for 8 months. And then in last May, we actually reached a settlement with the club, with our union. So we unionized with Actors Equity. Okay. We're the first strip club to unionize with them. We're the second strip club to unionize ever.
People like to push the boundaries of dancers, especially when they're intoxicated or they're on drugs, because they're like, what is this bitch gonna do? Who gives a fuck? I've got money. They're going to do everything I fucking say.
Exactly.
And then that's when we start having these issues of safety.
Exactly.
And then it becomes, does management want to take it to the next level? And are they on the dancer side? Or are they on the customer side? Is he a big spender, right? Because we've had people come in. And I mean, I've had a customer back in the day, and he threw a hookah at me and my friend.
Oh, my God.
He was able to come back the next night.
Of course.
Because he's a big spender. No, he's a big spender. Yeah. He's a big spender. No, we're not going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Like, y'all can go, but we're not going to get rid of him. And then it's like, wow, like, it just really puts you in this position where you just don't feel like shit.
All strippers are single mothers on drugs.
Whoa.
Damn. Single mothers and on drugs? Wow. Well.
I mean, that's obviously not me.
Damn, I don't know what to really say. No. I don't think that's the case. There are maybe some single mothers who are on drugs, sadly, and stripping, but that's definitely not the case. Most of us are just either just trying to make ends meet, you know? And you can only be doing drugs for so long in this industry because your body starts to deteriorate. Customers no longer want to get dances from you. Management doesn't want to hire you.
Burnout is like so real. Even if you are healthy in this industry, like the constantly working out and like the mental energy of talking to people all the time is like you'll burn out even if you are healthy. So it's hard to maintain that if you're on drugs.
Money for drugs and childcare sounds like a lot.
Strippers are only strippers because of the money.
I mean, like, who wants to wake up?
Like, oh, like, yeah, I want to strip for McNuggets. No, you're right. Like, we do want to dance
for
money. What's
wrong with wanting to work for money?
Because at the end of the day, I was working at Walgreens in Kansas making $7.13 a fucking hour.
And now we're having fun. Oh, we're looking beautiful.
What? I was there on time doing everything I needed to do, and they claimed I stole $60 from the register.
$60?
Oh, and I said, do I look like a bitch who was still
$60? Petty $60, baby.
I said, wow. I said, did y'all look at the tapes? And they were like, I mean, we did. We didn't see anything. And I said, you know what? This is going to be my time to check out. I went to go to the club, and I was 18, no, just turned 18. And I see my friends dancing, and they're getting new cars. They're getting houses. I got my friend connected with a lawyer. He bought her a 3-story condo, a house, and never even touched the girl. And I was like, bitch, this is for me. Because you can still work your normal jobs, you can still have a normal life, but after hours, you can be a whole fantasy, you can be a whole different person.
Yeah.
That's why it's called a hustle.
Yeah.
It's a side hustle. You can go ahead and invest that money.
Absolutely, if you're doing it right.
Yeah, and that's how I started my car rental business, off of stripping money.
Yes.
I have 8 cars now. That I feel like stripping helps pave the path to your financial freedom.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. For years for me, I think it was just about the money.
Uh-huh.
And then like up until the pandemic, then like, nobody could work anymore. There was no place that was open. So that's when like I became aware of like all of these different independent run shows that are like by strippers for strippers. That really opened my world to be like, oh, this, the money is great. And I spent so much time cultivating that. And I'm like, I want to be involved in like what is the next wave of the future of stripping, which I really believe is like the all-inclusive, like all genders, all races, all bodies.
Strippers don't have good relationships with their parents.
Oh, look, I'm calling my mom right now. Look.
Oh my God.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, what you doing, Mom?
We just got back.
Okay, period.
I just parked across the street in that parking lot. Maximum $12. Maximum $12, so I'm like, fuck that. I ain't gonna take a chance. But it wasn't nowhere to park.
Okay. No, that's perfect. That's perfect. I'm glad your car is stable.
I'm tired as fuck. I'm
driving all day. Oh, Mom, you're so hilarious. Okay, wait. So I'm doing an interview, right? And remember how, like, you always support me during pole dance, right? Like, you've always supported me.
Yeah. Supporting you since day one, nigga. You're leading.
Remember when you came to Dames and Games to visit me and I got you a section?
Oh, my God.
So I'm sitting next to the dancer that twerked in your wings.
Hey, Mama Wood.
No way. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
But, yeah, Mom, I love you so much, and thank you for always supporting me, boo.
I love you, too.
There's a lot of competition between the strippers behind the scenes.
It's unspoken, but there's competition. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the environment.
Yeah.
It really does. Because some places, like, you go super supportive, like, Dane's was pretty cool. You know what I'm saying?
Never,
like,
really much drama.
Not drama, but I go to clubs like Crazy Girls and some in Miami. The competition is vicious.
Yeah.
And it gets catty and it gets dangerous. But thankfully, we've been in environments where it's kind of like more of a friendship, family vibe, I guess you could say,
yeah.
Right?
And it's like everyone's so inviting when it comes to like a section. Oh, yeah, come mm-hmm. to my section. Like, let's make some money. But like how you say, like, Crazy Girls and Sam's and stuff like that, it's very catty. Everyone's just more like, it's mine.
Yeah, very competitive. Because they have to be. It's the environment that makes them be like that, you know?
I've definitely worked at clubs where, like, it's not like super friendly, it's not like super catty, but it's like you have to earn your spot.
Yep.
Like when you're new, like, don't be making too much noise and like making yourself the center of attention. Don't be like fighting with the girls who've been there forever. Like they will like, they're watching you. And like after like a couple months, they're like, okay, we like you.
Right. Yeah. Vetting process, if you will.
But also I worked at places where people are super friendly, like, and just family. And also, but like even in those spaces, you get the moments where money gets between people, no matter how close you are. It can surprise you. It can really surprise you.
Do you hang out with customers outside of work? What do you normally tell them?
It depends.
Well, it's hard when you create your own.
I'm not going to watch it.
Well, you know, it depends. You know, like,
when you create your own show, like you have, and like the co-op, like, you have to be in these people's DMs and convince them to come. We have to be in people's ear. Even if you're not hanging out, you do have to develop somewhat of a relationship to be like, come see us because we're taking care of our own.
Right. But the goal too, like, sometimes if you start seeing customers outside of work, they don't want to come see you at work.
That's true.
And then it's kind of like, damn. And that's what always happens. That's why I kind of took a break from seeing customers, because like what happens is they get too comfortable seeing you outside of work in the fantasy of having you in one space is diminished.
They think they're so close to you.
Yes.
And when they actually don't know anything about you.
Right.
And it's like, you love me because I ask you about yourself and I'm learning about you, and it makes you feel good, which is like it's a fine relationship to be in, but like, you gotta recognize this for what this is.
Period.
Because like,
you get too excited.
Yeah.
I had a love slave.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know, I am the pole master. And he was cool at first. It was all good. It was great. Like, you know? But then his life started to crumble. He lost his wife. He lost his kids. He lost his job. He lost everything. And he lost me, too. Because I was like, what the fuck? I ain't doing this bitch. Because all his money was gone. So I'm like, damn. Like, fuck. If I would have kept him in the club, it probably would have been a different experience. But that's like clients sometimes. Sometimes, too, you meet them at a high. You know, they're in the club, they're spending money, they're doing great in life, and then they start doing drugs, or then they get somebody pregnant, and then it's like, whoa.
You see people in the rawest form when they come to the strip club.
Yes, raw. But I'm looking for more love slaves.
Yeah, and, next. You know,
if you're into financial domination, I am your guy.
Strippers would rather be professional dancers. I feel like every stripper is the soul of a dancer trapped into being exploited for their artistic talents.
That sounds like ChatGPT. That sounds like ChatGPT said that shit.
I feel like it can go both ways, because I didn't really get into my artistic dancey way until I really got into it. Thing.
Yeah.
It got it out of me, okay? Yeah. And it was like, once I was like, oh, I could be this sexy bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. So it became like a hobby.
That assumption is sort of diminishing, because it's like, well, a pole dancer is a dancer. Like, that's just a type of dancer.
Like, I think there's professional dancing.
Yeah.
Like, you can work for music videos and et cetera, et cetera. But there's girls that strip and dance professionally.
Right.
You could do both.
I do both. Shit. I like the feeling. Like, professional dancing, the feeling I get from professional dancing is great. But the feeling I get from stripping is, like, so unique. Mm-hmm. And I'm just loving it because there's going to be a point in my life where I'm not a dancer and I'm not going to be a young chicken, right? Being able to entice like I used to. So it's, like, enjoy it while it lasts, you know? And it takes a special person to get on stage and seduce. And, like, if you know what I'm talking about, you understand.
It's a skill.
It's a skill set that you have to learn. Like, professional dancing, you can take classes and, like, you're training and you're doing all this. But stripping, they don't give you no blueprint.
Mm-mm.
They tell you, this is what time you need to show up. Pasties, bottoms.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And you have to learn. That's what I love so much about dancing, is because you have to learn from your environment or instructors or just trial and error.
Has being a stripper made you more compassionate to people you wouldn't normally associate with?
Say more compassionate. I think it's giving me like a new perspective on straight men in a lot of situations. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's expected to be like sort of the enemy in nowadays. Yeah. But there's something about, I think, why a lot of people go to the strip club, especially straight men, I think, need that element of sexuality in order to like get intimate and personal and like emotional with someone. And people who don't have that opportunity for whatever reason in their world, if the world has made them feel ugly or unloved, or if they work so much they can't start a family and they just desperately like want to hang around someone, like I've seen it be a really healing experience for some people. Right. So I think it's giving me more compassion in that way. But there's also definitely a lot of
And I feel like it's both. People. No, yeah, and I feel like it's both. Like you have people that are just don't have no one to talk to. They literally like, I'm going to just pay you. Let me just talk to you. I just want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Like, you know, I engage, of course, conversation. But how do I feel any type of different? No, I just feel like I'm just clocking in and I'm just working.
Right.
That's how I feel.
That's what
and
you're
then you
for.
Have exactly. So you have, it depends the mood, I feel like, of the person that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Strippers are always dealing with stalkers. How do you establish your boundaries?
I mean, if the security, depending on the strip club that you work at, like we're talking about corporate, if they're very security enforced, we feel a little more protected. So, you know, but there is, you know, cases where if you give your Instagram or social media to a man or a client that you have, what happens?
Yeah.
You post where you're at and then they're right there.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm very careful like where I post and I don't let just anyone follow me because I for that same reason, for my safety. When I'm not in the club, I got to protect myself when I'm out the club.
Right.
Yeah. That was the situation with one of our dancers who felt unsafe originally at Start Garden, who like this kind of started the whole strike was because she had a customer who really favored her. The management was close with him. He spent a lot of money. They liked him and they would let him hang out past closing. But she's like, hey, this is a safety issue. Like, you know, we're all clocking out in our street clothes and we are all counting our money, you know. And she was like, I'd like it if you, you know, let him out when you let everyone all out. They did not take her seriously at all. They made it into a huge joke. They were like, oh yeah, he's the security was like, he's stalking you. He's gonna kill you. Like, it's like, as a security, like, that's the opposite of what you should be saying.
That's what you're getting paid to do.
It should be your job to take that seriously. And that is, like, that's kind of what started it all off. It's a simple request, and you turn it into a joke. And it's like, but this shit happens. And it happens to sex workers.
Often.
A lot. Like, are a huge target of violence. And even strippers, like, who have a little more protection in the club. Once you're out of there, you're out of there. And
absolutely.
If somebody's watching you.
And it can even just not even about someone just talking because they're obsessed with you. It could be like you're posting a good bag and you're with other baddies and whatnot.
Yeah.
And people will literally try to
rob
you.
My friend got robbed. Yeah. Ace, she got $10,000 stolen from her.
Wow.
And she couldn't do anything but laugh. She literally was just like shook that it was all over. It was viral. She just literally got off work. Worked all night long. They took their suitcase, their phones, everything.
Wow.
At gunpoint in front of their apartment complex. So even like that, like getting followed from home in Ubers, like it's just so many different factors that go into it.
Mitchell Lundrigan says that I assume they are honestly very liberal in relationships and flirtatious in general, potentially not wanting to stay with a singular partner.
I find that false. It's like if you understand what I do, if you understand what I do and we're on the same page, then there's no, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just playing a role that I'm acting.
Yeah.
It comes with the acting. So I just, if you can be with someone that can accept you for who you are and, you know, and trust is there, then I feel like you could.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've gone through phases, I think, of being more like dating multiple people at once and being more monogamous. But I think that is just like part of growing up. It wasn't really influenced by my experience in the club. Like, I think in the club, the chances of me thinking actually like romantically or sexually about someone are so slim. Cause I'm like, I'm
right. Also, it takes a really strong person, confident person to date a dancer.
Yes.
It's just cause some people feel like they own you.
Yeah.
Or it's like, we're a relationship. Like, I'm my own person.
It can be so hard with dating because people say, what you'll be like, listen up, like, this is what I do. If it's a problem,
yeah.
we won't be together. Like, I'm not going to sacrifice my life. And like, people will be like, no, 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 I understand. I love it. Like, I believe in this thing that you're doing. I don't have a problem with it. And then the closer you get, it sort of develops into a problem. And I've seen that with a lot of dancers. And that is a thing that always breaks my heart, because I feel like the sexy and the charisma and the persona of the person is like what they're attracted to in the beginning, and then they want to change.
Like, but you're mine.
Later.
But you're mine.
Exactly.
And it's only like, I can see you like that.
Yeah.
And don't be the breadwinner and don't start making more money than them, because that's really when shit gets bad.
Yeah. Well, and they can be like, oh, well, if you do this and you make all this money with these guys, then like you should be helping me out. Like a guilt tripping thing.
Yep. It's just next to Nance so at home toxic. Playing PlayStation while you at work crying. He had a lap dance for you, trying to make money for both of y'all. Like, you have another child. It's crazy.
Do you feel like you, like, are cold-hearted? Like, do you guys feel like you're more cold-hearted since working at the club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cold. I'm a cold piece. I'm not going to hold you. That's why I'm over here. Shut the fuck up. I'm not going to let y'all talk this one out.
Well, you see, like, look at all these people like me. Like, if you don't treat me fucking well, then why should I deal with someone like that?
Strippers have multiple jobs.
Well, in LA, everyone has multiple jobs.
It really depends. Like I said, it depends on where you're at, because some dancers are well kept and don't have to work multiple jobs. Mm-hmm. Dancers in California, unfortunately, we have to have multiple jobs. But you do want to have another income, because just in case you fuck yourself up or your club closes or you get fired.
Exactly.
We're so used to surviving. It's not like we want to have multiple jobs, but it's like anything can happen in this game to where you look up and you're like, damn.
Just like all of us, you know, he has his own business. He teaches people how to pole dance electronically and in person. He travels.
Yeah.
I have a car rental business, Driven Exotic Car Rentals. Hey. And also, I feel like girls even can have a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Girls
I'm an actor.
There you go.
And so, like, my whole thing has been, like, the stripping supplementing the acting. But then, like, it goes vice versa sometimes, too.
And just because we're dancing, it doesn't mean we're just going to stick to dancing. We actually are smart as hell. And we definitely look at everything as a business.
The more fun you're having on the job, the more you're getting paid.
I feel like when it comes to that question, I feel like, in a sense, when I drink a little more, I tend to make a little bit more. Yeah. And what I mean by that is, like, your personality just becomes like a dragon, like, rawr. Like, I'm on it. Like, I'm on fire, literally. So I feel like when I get a little bit more involved in the party scene with the customers, I feel like they get drunk, because you're getting them drunk and they're throwing more and more and more.
They come to have a joyful experience.
Absolutely.
And they don't want to see someone who is upset. I've seen some of the most amazingly talented dancers on stage, but they don't make as much because they're not smiling and, like, engaging with the audience.
Yeah.
They're not enjoying their time there. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's also, like, the other way. Like, if you see me having fun, it's because I'm making a lot of money.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's nothing when you get
that's
extra turn out. You're like,
Yeah. That's it.
Every stripper carries a little bit of shame with them.
If we do, it's just because of the things that other people say and think.
And social media.
Like, guilt is when you do something wrong and you feel bad for it.
Yeah.
Shame is when there's, like, somebody over your shoulder being like, you're so bad. So, like, I don't fault any stripper who feels that way. Everybody feels differently about it. But I think, like, the situations where I've felt shame are, like, it's other people's perception. And then, like, I'll have a night where, like, I don't make any money. And then I'm like, why am I doing this? Da-da-da. You start going down that road of, like, oh, I guess I am just, like, I don't have any other skills. I'm a loser. And it's like, I don't actually.
Right.
You associate an idea with a sensation that you're already having. And when I really think about it, I'm like, well, no, I don't actually feel that way. I'm just feeling like shit.
Yeah.
Strippers are confident as heck.
You see it. You see the confidence. Because you have to go to work and be a bad bitch.
Yeah.
It's not like an option. Because if you don't go into work and you're not the best version of yourself, you won't make any money. Or you're working next to people who are extremely confident. I mean, you're nude, for Christ's sakes, in some spaces. So if you have no confidence, you will never make a single dollar in the club. Mm-hmm. And then it just carries over into your life. Because now you're like, damn, I look good wearing these outfits. Like, you know how to do your makeup. You know how to do your hair. You know how to just look good and feel good. Because it's like a part of your job. And now it's a part of your life.
Strippers are going to steal your man.
I mean, shit.
I mean, if you can.
That's situational.
Man stealers are going to steal men. I think that's a personality thing. But
how about a man can be stolen?
That's a good point.
A man
not
is
a
grown.
Possession.
Okay, right. How can a man be right? stolen? A man going to go where he wants. And that's it. He's going to go where the fuck he want to go. I don't know. Look. Mm-hmm. Look. The man is going to go where a man wants to go, and that's the end of that conversation.
But just for you ladies out there, yeah. we do not want your man. We just want to get paid. Okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
yeah.
And if I wouldn't be stealing men at the strip club. I would go to some, like, bank or, like, I would steal a different caliber of man if I were to steal a man. Right. I think, no offense to
it's
our strip
club
patrons.
Keep him, babes. You can keep him. Keep him. You doing your job. Everybody plays a role. Sometimes a housewife got to do your job. I'm going to do my job. We can come together, collaborate.
He's in the house.
You know, let's say Sizzle say you 9 to 5 on the weekend. Okay.
Anyone can be a stripper.
Look.
No.
So anybody, in fact, can be a stripper. Will you be a good stripper? Will you be a profitable stripper? Who knows? But it takes a special person to be in this game and to continue to be a dancer.
I was so, like, direct with the no because yeah. I just feel like...
I mean, really? Like,
no, but that's really how I feel, though, because yeah. of course, girls, like, watch YouTube videos of girls right. stripping, but it's like, oh, like, I want to do it, but they don't have the balls. Again, going yeah. back yeah. to about having that courage to do it, you got to have it in you. Like, yeah. you really got to have it in you. Like, and if, yeah. if it's not in you, like, because you can go audition and you're going to get scared right when you get called up and you don't yeah. go when it's your turn.
And it's not a good environment for everyone.
Right.
I think for some people, it would cause them feelings of shame or yeah. put them in a position where they can't say no to drugs or alcohol. And, like, you do have to take stock of the elements of the job and whether or not that's a position you really, like, can maintain.
Can all of y'all talk about what your first day on the job was like?
My first day was ridiculous. So the club was 21 and over, still made it in there. And I didn't even have no underwear to wear, so I had to borrow my friend's clean underwear. And I was dancing next to Twirls, McFilth, Apple Watts, Candace Kane, Carter the Body, and these are like LA legends. And I was so fucking nervous. I think I made like $11. But it was so dope because of the dancers that I saw. I was like, oh, bitch. I'm about to come back for you hoes. Like,
motivated
this
you.
Won't be the last you see me now to this day. Like, I still work with Twirls. We've been on P-Valley together. I booked Candace for celebrity gigs, G-Eazy, Drake, all that shit. And then it's just like, I've been able to grow since that moment.
So my first day was actually, it wasn't that bad for me. I right. made over $1,000 that night. And that was just auditioning. And it was so packed in there. I was just like, I was nervous. I'm going to be honest. I was gotcha. So nervous. I was so nervous. And I just went on the stage and I just did my thing. And I had a couple of my friends come up and they supported me as well, too. So I feel like that helped me give me, like, more comfortability yes. to know my people right there. But honestly, I don't really remember too much about the night. But I did remember that I made a good bag that night for sure.
My first night in the strip club was in a little club in a small town in Michigan where I'm from. And I didn't have the right shoes. I had regular, like, prom heels on. I don't think I shaved my legs. I had the wrong outfit. I had to borrow an outfit from another girl. I got on the stage. I was like, the pole spins. Like, I didn't know.
Right.
Yes, the moment we found out the pole spins.
You're like, oh, my gosh.
But
I was 20, and I was like, I don't know what the hell I just did. But somebody's like, I want to dance with you. And I think I made $175.
Yeah.
I went home, put it in a pillowcase under my bed, and was like, this is it. Like,
right.
I feel so good to have $175.
Like, one night.
Yeah.
One night.
Yes.
And like, that is like, that's nothing compared to what it turned into. But I was like, oh, like the feeling of like, I can just go and do that and like have this money yes. was like, it flipped a switch in me.
When did you feel like it was right to start dancing? Like, when did you feel like it was your moment?
I have two different moments, because there was one when I was professionally dancing, and there's one when I was in a club. One, for me, my professional dancing was when I got booked to dance for UCLA. I was 20 years old, and the queer community hit me up, and they're like, we want to book you to dance. I'm like, bitch, I don't even know how I'm going to get there. So I told my manager that I was shitting blood. And she's like, oh my God, that's going on with my boyfriend. Go home, go home. So then I got on the motherfucking 5. It went straight to UCLA. Set up that pole. They paid me $1,000 to dance for 10 minutes.
Oh my God.
And I said, bitch, I made it. Like, I'm what? And then I knew when I was in the club, I got hired to dance at Penthouse Hollywood, and I was like one of the only pole dancers. I was like, damn, bitch, like, I'm really in LA now. Like, 2 years ago, I was like nobody, and now I'm working at one of the top clubs in LA.
For me, I had done some pole classes, static, hence the not knowing the spinning. And I was living in Michigan. I knew I wanted to move to LA and be an actor. And I was like, oh, how will I make money? Maybe one day I could be a stripper. And like the first time I auditioned at that club, I got hired, but I didn't work that night. Like I was a little like nervous. And then I remember just like, I think it was like 6 months of like thinking about it and thinking about it. And being like, I want to be there. And like going back to the pole class and being like, no, like this is cool. But I actually like the stripping was the thing I was looking for. Yeah. And like, I just went back and, you know, was in college and like that money was life changing and didn't look back.
What about you, boo?
Down aside.
You auditioned and made $1,000, huh?
Yeah, literally, that was my mom. I said,
This is for me.
And it was like, had just turned 21. And I remember, so my birthday's in September. I didn't try out until October at Dancing Games. And I was like, this is my moment. This is my moment. Even though I was scared as shit, it was just like, it's my moment. Because I was not, I'm going to be honest, I didn't feel comfortable being full nude. Like, I just didn't feel like that was for me. So deep down inside, I always wanted to do it. I just was waiting till 21, till 21. And once I hit 21, bam, I'm right there. And I'm just like, first night, try out. Yeah. I'm in. Foot in the door. Yes. Okay, let's do it.
You're right on time. Divine timing.
What would you tell your, like, baby stripper self now, if you could tell them something?
You're about to be the baddest bitch in the game. You don't even fucking know. Like, you're going to touch more strip clubs than you've ever known. You're going to teach internationally. You're going to have your own night. You're going to do everything you said you're going to do, bitch. And then some.
With me, I think it was just more so of just my stage presence and also like finessing more of my environment. And I feel like telling my baby self is like, girl, you're going to get there. Like, it's okay. Because I feel like I was really that shy girl. Mm-hmm. Like in a sense of like, I'm like innocent. Like I was really cool. And then once I get in there, it's like, well, I'm this and I'm that. And I'm so then it's like, girl, it's going to come. It's okay. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. I would say it's okay to spend money taking care of yourself.
Absolutely.
And like, that's first and foremost what this is for. Your house is your wealth. And it's okay to like want to be friends with everybody. Like, I think in the beginning I was like, I'm not here to make friends. But like, actually, like, I have found some of the most fulfilling friendships and like long lasting relationships through this job. And I'm really grateful for the people I've met.
What advice would you give someone looking to start dancing?
I feel like in the season right now, it's kind of tough. So don't expect what you see on Instagram and TikTok. These girls, oh, I made this in one day. Oh, look, one dance, this on stage. When you see that, that's that girl's money within 3 days, five days out of working. So much that, oh, I made this in one night. No, baby, she's been saving that up all week and finally posting on social media. So what you see on social media, don't let that motivate you to do it. Do it because you want to put yourself and feel comfortable to be in that situation and realize it's hard and there's a real dark side to it. And if you're ready for that ride, then girl, ride.
Look at your money at the end of the month or the week, not the end of the night. And then really ask yourself, what's everything that I had to do to make this and can I sustain it?
Period.
Because it's a lot to put yourself through and a lot of like, oh, I got to get these shoes. I got to hair, makeup, et cetera, et cetera. To then end up not going through with it.
If you don't have to, don't do it. Like, if you don't have to, don't do it because your life's gonna change. Whether it be good or bad, just being in the club, your life's gonna change, like, period. And then if you are gonna do it, be the best, period. Like, be the baddest. Like, be the best version of yourself, babes, because you only live once. I am always available and looking for new pay pics. DM me, tweet me, however you need to reach me, period. I'm ready. I need new clients. I need to be reimbursed.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.